Well, welcome. Welcome to you online, too. And I'm not going to spend time talking. You hear me quite a bit, but I do appreciate that you're here, and I appreciate that Didier has come from France to be with us, to be here, all the way in Manning. We looked at the map today to figure out where he came to, and then we went out to where he came from, and I personally was in more awe of where he came from than where he is right now, but that's because I'm here so all the time. But I'm so excited to finally introduce you to Didier Tisson. So I'm going to let him talk about him, because I wouldn't give him justice. So Didier, welcome. Come on up and share with us what God has for you.
Thank you, Pastor Corey. Good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you this evening and spending time with you. And I've met many of you. The people there at the back at the soundboard, I see there's a South African there. So I'm originally I'm from France, but we moved to South Africa when I was 6 years old. And I grew up in South Africa, but now I'm back in France the last 2 years. So I don't know what I am. I am an Afrikaans English speaking Frenchman. So that's, and my name is Didier Tisson. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I fell in love with Jesus when I met him at the age of 17. And next month I'll be turning 55. And it's a privilege for me to be able to share his love, to share his heart, and allowing him to use me as a conduit for whatever he wants to do in people's lives. And so I'm expectant for this weekend. And I want to thank Pastor Corey and Jennifer for inviting me to be here with you. I love your pastor's heart. You know, when you see his heart, you see the heart of Jesus. He's a man walking in love, loves the Lord, and has got a very sensitive heart. And he seeks the will of God. And that's how I met him 4 years ago at Pastor Chris's conference in United with Christ, upstate New York. And I saw his heart immediately, and I love the man. And Pastor Corey, thank you so much for the invite, and thank you for allowing me to minister to the people, precious people of God. Now, this weekend, I didn't come just to, you know, talk about something that may be a good message. I feel like a FedEx agent. I need to drop a package, which the Lord said, put on my heart for you. And so I just want him to use me as he wants and he wills. And we are in a very unique season on the face of this earth today. The church is in a very unique timing where the Lord is raising up a people that's hearing a sound from heaven. And they are responding and they are engaging. They are latching on to what the Spirit of God is doing and wanting to do. God is very intentional today in our lives. And there's a shift happening. A shift in people's minds, a shift in people's hearts, and just like an expectancy rising up in many people's hearts. Like, I'm not, Lord, I thank you for the past. I thank you and I'm grateful for what happened in the past, but I'm not satisfied. I need something bigger. I need something more of you. I need just a greater touch of you on my life. I'm just not satisfied. And this happened to me, even though I know now the Lord 38 years, but the last 2-3 years, I'm just expecting more. And I want to say to you today, you need to expect more than you've been expecting. Because things will start changing. We live, we serve an awesome God. And it doesn't matter if you've known the Lord now for 40 years. It doesn't matter if you've known the Lord now for 30 years. You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen everything that God has for you. There's a higher purpose in God that God is calling us to. There are greater exalted experiences He wants for us to experience on this earth. That's His heart. And God is manifesting Himself in a great and a unique and a powerful and an awesome way. Now, I didn't know the Lord till the age of 17. My father was an atheist. My grandfather was buried as a communist in France. So I grew up in a very liberal home in South Africa. My mother was a Belgian lady and my father was a French guy. And we had a liberal upbringing and never went to church. But the first time I walked into a church at the age of 17, I sat there. And at the end of the service, Pastor Theo Vormerange, which is still my pastor today after 38 years, gave an invitation, who wants to meet Jesus? And I thought, well, you know, I was sitting there because I was forced to be there. Caught. I was like, you know, we were going to a restaurant, but I didn't know we were going to stop at church before we getting to the restaurant. So I was not sitting there out of my own will, but God had an appointment with me that day. And I remember sitting right at the back of a 3,000-seater church. And Jesus coming right to me at the back there at 17. And it was waves of love that hit me, one after the other. And I could not resist that love. I could not resist saying, I could not say no to that love. I didn't realize someone loved me that much. And that day, at the age of 17, 38 years ago, I gave my life to Him. My whole life changed. Whole life changed. Like this. And so He's more real to me today than you are. I love Him with all my heart. His tangible presence is precious to me. I cannot live without His presence. And so today I'm just a servant of the Lord. Some people call me an apostle because we've planted churches, me and my wife. Some people call me pastor. Some people call me prophet. I don't care what you call me. I'm just a normal servant of Jesus Christ being used by Him because He loves me and I love Him. And I just share His love. But for me, He's alive. And I want to say this to you, that He wants to reveal Himself more to you today than He's ever revealed Himself in the past. But we determine the level of intimacy with the Lord, not He. You draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So it's us that needs to draw Him near to Him. We determine the level of intimacy with the Lord. We determine that. God does not determine that. He's already done everything. He's removed everything that can stand in the way between you and Him. He's done His part. It's about us now. And so today there's like an expectation rising up in so many people's hearts all over the globe where I go, where people are starting to recognize something in the Spirit. The atmosphere is changing. There's a shift. It's different. God is calling me deeper than before. God is nudging me. God is prompting me. God is wanting to raise the temperature in my house. God is wanting to remove things from my life that has been standing between me and Him and just clouding my mind. There's an adjustment taking place. There's an alignment taking place. And so many people want a revival. God is saying, no, there needs to be an awakening. The veil needs to be removed so you can see what I'm intending to do in your life. There's so many people waiting for an outpouring. The outpouring has happened. There's an uprising that needs to happen within our hearts. Everything's been invested. I don't own a part of God. You don't own a part of God. You've got the fullness of God in you. It's in us. And so what I want to say is there's a second touch of the Lord happening on the earth today, on His people. There's an intensity, there's a higher temperature, there's an explosion taking place in people's hearts and in people's minds. Where the mind was cluttered, God is saying, I'm removing confusion. I'm bringing clarity to your mind. Sorry, I get excited and passionate. Some people say it's because I'm French. No, no, it's just because I'm in love with the Lord. But the Spirit of God is moving. And He's wanting us to engage. He's wanting us to latch on. I want to say to you, there's a decapitation of demons taking place in people's lives. Things that has been holding you back for too long. Limitations. And you know, all limitations are imaginary. All limitations are imaginary. There's no limit in God. All limitations are imaginary. God is evicting things in our lives that has been restricting us and confining us for too long. Some of us needs fresh demons to fight. Because we've been fighting the same old, same old, same old, same old things for 40 years. And God says, no, 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 I need you to go to another level. I need you to get to another dimension. I need you to progress. You need new demons to fight. Hello? But the spirit realm is real. And the enemy doesn't want us to grow. The enemy doesn't want us to see clearly into the spirit. The enemy doesn't want us to be able to discern what's really happening around us and give our attention to what God wants us to give our attention to. He doesn't want us to move that way. And so, Father, today I pray. So I haven't even started yet. I'm just... Are you guys okay? Is my voice okay? Does it come over okay? Because I'm a bit... I have many conferences up in South Africa, down in South Africa. So, and I caught a cold next, you know, on my way back to Europe. So, Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you, Father God, that you touch your precious people. I ask you that you'll envelop this service in the atmosphere of eternity, where your people will also even experience the flap of your angels' wings. And, Father God, that they will experience your presence tangibly upon their lives. I pray, Father God, if there's anything that is restricting your people, limiting your people to grow to the place that you've purposed for their lives, that those limitations will be broken down tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, if there's any confusion in any mind, that the confusion will be evicted from every mind. If there's any discouragement in people's hearts, that the discouragement will melt away and that courage will rise up in their hearts, and that your people will be brave, your people will be courageous to take on everything that you are presenting to them, Father God, for them to progress into your higher purpose for their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you are taking your people by the hand and leading them into your full purpose, that you are showing and revealing to them exactly what you've intended for them, for their lives before time began, that everything that you wrote in their book, Father God, according to Psalms 139, that every detail will be established and performed and fulfilled in their life as you intended in Jesus' name. Your word says, Father God, in Philippians 1 verse 6, what you have started in our lives, you will surely finish. Not 90%, but you will surely finish. And I thank you for your people. I pray that you bless them. I pray, Father God, that today they are receiving what the Spirit of God is saying and not a touch from man. They will not experience a touch from man, but a touch from God. They will not experience or hear the voice of man, but the voice of God. And I thank you, Father God, for your precious people. I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. The people of God said, Amen. Praise God. You excited to be here? Who's experiencing already the presence of God? Come on. Presence of God is starting to move. So I want to talk to you about the second touch. Second touch of Jesus. And God is moving and touching people. People that has known him for 40 years, 50 years, and been walking with him for many years. It's just like there's a new expectation. There's a heightened awareness of what God's purpose is for their lives. It's just like people are not satisfied with the same old anymore. It's fine to know that you'll go to heaven, but what is God wanting to establish today in your life? What's the significance that what God is wanting to reveal today in your life and in your family? There's a higher purpose in God. There are exalted experiences in God. The Word of God says if we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up. So humbleness is a required ingredient for us to progress in life, for us to advance in life, for us to go forward in life. But the word humble or the word lift in the Greek is hupsu. You can go and study it. Hupsu. So God says, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up. I will hupsu you. That word means I will literally take you to the very summit of opulence and prosperity. Go and check it out. That's what that word means. God says, if you humble yourself, if you make my kingdom first in your life, if you submit to my authority, if you apply my word, if you seek me, you will find me. If you humble yourself, I will take care of you. I will watch over you. I will favor you. Okay? I will remove the obstacles in your life. Okay? I will remove the locust that wants to eat and take away and steal from you. I will remove that. I'll protect you. I'll hupsu you. I'll literally take you to the very summit of opulence and prosperity. That's what God's word says. You can go study it. It stands there. It stands there. So that's a promise from the Lord for us. But there's an account we read in Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26 in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read this account. It's only about four verses. Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26. New Living Translation. Word says, when they arrived in Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around and he said, "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." So in other words, if the people moved, he knew it wasn't a tree. The people had to do something for him to discern whether it's a tree or not a tree. So many Christians, you know, they need confirmation. They need, you know, encouragement to really, okay, am I hearing clearly? And am I seeing clearly? So many, you know, most Christians need to get over the obstacle of confirmation. Hello? When God speaks, we need to discern immediately. Okay, we need to be able to see clearly, and that's where God is wanting to take us. So this man had to have signs for him to discern whether it's a man or a tree. He needed movement. And then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. So Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." So just think about this. Here's this bustling fishing village, Bethsaida. Bethsaida actually means fishing pond. Actually means house of fish. That's what Bethsaida means. And the word of God says in Matthew 11, 21, that Bethsaida was cursed because of its unbelief, because of its lack of faith. That whole village was filled with cynicism, unbelief, and it was filled with skepticism. And Jesus actually said, if the same miracles would have happened in Sodom and Gomorrah that happened in you, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. But there was a group of people that brought a blind man to Jesus that believed that Jesus can heal him. I want to say today, there's a group of Christians that believe that God is doing something new. There's a group of Christians that believe that the supernatural is about to break out in their family. The supernatural is about to break out in their ministry. The supernatural is about to break out in their business. The supernatural is about to break out in the workplace. Something is about to happen, and I'm expecting more than I've been expecting before. Something's happening. And they knew in this village, they weren't absorbed by the skepticism and the cynicism of that village. They took a friend that was blind to Jesus. I want to say to you today, you've been maybe praying for a family member that doesn't know Jesus. But I want to say to you today that it's happening. God is fishing in your pond. God is coming for family members that don't know Him. God is coming for family members that are lost. God is coming even for your vision, that if you've lost vision, to restore your vision and put you back on track, because He's not started something in your life to only take it to 20%. He's not started something in your life just to take you into 60% of what he wants for your life. He wants to accomplish 100% of what He destined you for and placed you for on the face of this earth. That's His intention. That's His will. That's His high purpose for your life. And no lie of the enemy can derail you and take you off that rail. God is doing something new on this earth, and He's awakening His people to His higher purpose for exalted experiences. That's what God is doing today. And so they bring this blind man to Jesus. Jesus does something very different. They expected Jesus to pray for him right there in front of everyone. That's not what Jesus did. Who's going to be the blind man here? Huh? Come here, young lady. Come here. Yeah, yeah. Come. Come, let's joke together. Take my hand. Come and stand next to me. You're going to be preaching with me. You've got bad eyes. So I'll pray for you. That's fine. I'll spit on your eyes as well. Okay. The Bible says that Jesus took his hand. Go and check it out. And then he started leading this blind man. You blind now. Close your eyes. What's your name again?
Kennedy.
Kennedy. Okay. Thank you for doing this with me. Okay. So this blind man. Close your eyes. You blind, eh? Okay. This blind man took the hand of Jesus. Took firm hold of his hand. As Jesus took his hand. And Jesus started walking out of the village with him. Now there's something we need to understand about a blind person. A blind person needs familiar environment to function in independently. As much as possible. So this blind person knew exactly. He was standing in Church Street, where they brought him to Jesus. He knew exactly on the corner of Church Street. And what is another common name for a street in Canada? Sorry? Main Street. Okay. So he knew on the corner of Main Street and Church Street, there's his hairdresser. And if he went down Main Street, he would find his tailor, which made his clothes so that he could be acceptable for society. And he knew if he just went further down the Church Street, he would find his bookkeeper. That made his books add up, you know, work out. And he knew exactly, well, if you wanted to be connected, you have AT&T, yeah? Okay, which one do you have, yeah? Dallas. He knew, well, if he wanted to stay connected, he needed to buy airtime, or he needed to buy a SIM card at Dallas to stay connected. So he knew where he was at when he got to Jesus. But now Jesus was challenging him with something else. He was starting to journey with him out of the village. And he started walking with him. Come, walk with me. You keep your eyes closed. And this man needed to trust Jesus. Because now he was moving with Jesus to a place where he was not so familiar with. And I want to say this to you today, that God is moving our lives to the extremity of our familiarity. And I want to say this to you today, that God is not going to support us in our current condition. And so many people want God to support them in their current condition, just like the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. When Peter and John walked into the synagogue for prayer in the prayer hour, and they found this man that was begging for money who had legs, but he was crippled. Oh, he couldn't use them. Legs, but didn't use them. Couldn't use them. They were just hanging there. So many Christians has got legs, but they're just hanging there. They don't use them. They are meant to be used, but they don't use them. And that man was begging for alms. Okay. Are you still following me? That man was begging for alms. He expected Peter to give him some money. And Peter looked at him and said, listen, I don't have money for you, but what I have, I can give you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And life came into those legs that was meant to be used to be able to walk and to run. And he gave life to those legs. But at first that man was expecting Peter to support him in his current condition. Too many Christians are expecting God to support them just to survive. Come on, you must trust me. You have to walk with me. Now you're going to preach with me today, all the way. All the way. You with me all the way. She didn't prepare for this. And so many Christians are wanting God, just keep me where I am because I'm comfortable with my familiarity. I'm comfortable in this environment. I know where to turn left. I know where to turn right. I know my connections. But God says, no, no, no. I need to take you out of this environment. I need you to be connected to me. I need you to be dependent on me. I need you to trust me. Not, you don't need more faith. You need more courage. Oh. Because we just need faith as small as a mustard seed. And we can say to this mountain, get, you know, if you came to church tonight, you've got enough faith. That's just the fact. You've got enough faith. But what we need is more courage. What we need is more bravery. That's what we need. You see, David was courageous. He was brave. He made himself vulnerable. We think Goliath means giant. Goliath doesn't mean giant. Goliath means exposer. Goliath means revealer. Go and check it out. So God will put a Goliath in front of you to reveal who you are. To expose who you are. To reveal the anointing on your life. And some of us has lost that. We need to rediscover who we are. We need to rediscover what we are meant to be. We need to rediscover what the calling is. We need to rediscover what God has invested in us. And so many of us don't need more faith. We need courage. We need bravery so that we will be willing to make ourselves vulnerable. So that God can show himself strong on our behalf. And God loves that. Oh, wow. Are you following me? And so what happens? Are you still with me, Kennedy? You're still blind, eh? I haven't prayed for you yet. And so Jesus takes this man and he starts off with his journey. He goes down Church Street, familiar environment for Kennedy. Now he turns left down Main Street. Now Kennedy understands when they get to the end of Main Street, they're going out over the boundary of the village. And that area, he doesn't know. He's not familiar with that territory and that environment. So what happens? Now he's going to the extremity of his familiarity. And the closer he gets to that extremity, the closer he gets to that boundary, the heart pounds. Oh, my word. Jesus, don't leave me now. Where are you taking me now, Jesus? Where are you taking me? You're asking me to do something I'm not familiar with. You're asking me to do something that I don't know. I don't think that I've been educated enough for this. I don't think that I've been prepared enough for this. I don't think that I've been, you know, going through. You know, I don't feel adequate for this. And Jesus just, you trust me. I believe when that blind man was walking with Jesus, he had to feel eternity flooding his heart. He had to feel electricity going into his body. He had to feel the life juices of heaven entering his mind and his heart. He had to feel something. And I'm very sure when Jesus and Kennedy came to the boundary line, Kennedy gripped my hand with both hands. He surely, that's it, yeah, grip it tightly. Eh? You're blind, you need to trust me. He gripped Jesus' hand with both hands. Double engagement. I'm going now in foreign territory. Jesus, you can't leave me now. Jesus, now I'm taking risks here by following you. I'm making myself vulnerable here following you. Jesus, I don't know where the rocks are. I can tumble over them. I can fall over them. Jesus, I trust you. Coming out of the village, he makes the blind man stand in front of him. Yeah, don't worry, I'm in front of you. I'll pray now for you. You'll be able to see in a minute, okay? I first need to spit on your eyes. Can I take your glasses off? Oops, sorry. Okay, give me your glasses. I'll put them here on the pulpit. Thank you for doing this with me. Okay, really appreciate it. You're doing a great job. Anyway, so Bible says that Jesus put both his hands on the blind man's eyes. Both his hands. Not one hand, both. One hand representing God's, our inheritance in God. We all know the promises of God so well. You know, by His stripes we are healed. He'll provide for us. He'll take care of us. We are protected by Him. All the promises, the beautiful promise. There are many, many promises in the Word of God. The other hand represents God's inheritance in us. And so we're not so familiar with that. Because we can trust God enough for His promises. But so many of us don't trust God enough to be challenged by Him. And that's exactly where God is taking His people today. He's challenging us. I'm telling you, God is shifting people. God is giving them assignments. Mantles are dropping from heaven on people today. A mantle is nothing else than assignment, an assignment, an assignment. God is saying, I'm giving you this, do this for me. If you do that for Him, things shift, things change, your life changes. The anointing increases, favor rises, provision comes. Why? Because God is putting a demand on His inheritance in you. It's not about only your inheritance in God, but God's inheritance in you. So both hands represent what God has for him. Praise for, he actually, before he puts his hands on, I'll spit, which eye must I spit in first? Huh? This one. She's very serious. Shame. Okay, I'll be a big spit this side, okay? I just have to pull it back, okay? Just wait a minute. Hope you guys are okay with me. Okay, so, but Jesus had to pull it back. Well, okay. I mean, even if you look at John chapter 9, come on, people. Come on. We look so religious in church, you know, and we look so holy in church. But listen, in John chapter 9, Jesus prayed for a blind man that was born blind. And the disciples asked him, was it because of his parents' sin or of his own sins? And Jesus said, no, it's because of the glory of God that must be revealed to him. Not because he was a Christian. He didn't sin. God just had a plan with him. He wanted to reveal his greatness in him. All right? And what did God do? Jesus do? He took dirt and he spat enough spit in that dirt to make enough mud for two eyes. So he really pulled it back. Come on now. And then he took that mud and smeared it on the blind man's eyes. That's what the Bible says. And then he said to the blind man, now you go to the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And God is wanting to send you. God is wanting to guide you. God is wanting to restore your vision so that you can see into the future. That's God's will for you. So that you can put your energy where it counts. Spend your time where it counts. And get rid of distractions that leads to destruction. And so the Bible says he spat on both eyes, put his hands on both eyes, and he prayed for the first time. And after, you can open your eyes, I prayed now for you. Okay. And he asked the blind man, what do you see? Well, I see people, they look like trees. Jesus said, not to worry. Let me pray for you again. Second touch. The second touch is found all over the Bible. It's the same with Elijah. Elijah running away from Jezebel, hiding in a cave after killing 450 Satanists. He finds himself in a cave and he says to God, God, I just want to die. I don't want to live anymore. And God gives him a meal and he falls asleep. And then the angel wakes him up again. Okay? The angel doesn't say to him, listen, get up and prepare your own meal this time. Doesn't say, listen, go and hunt and shoot something and prepare your meal. God gives him a meal again, second time, while he's resting. I want to say to you today that people that are engaging with God will feel like they're actually in a rest. And God will provide for them in that state. God will do more in your life today just by flowing with him than you trying to make things happen. And the second touch represents complete restoration. Because the word says, when he prayed for her the second time, he was complete. When he prayed for him the second time, he was completely restored and he saw perfectly. Perfectly. I want to say to you tonight, there's a second touch coming on your house. There's a second touch coming on your life. So, when I look at you, God's visiting your house now. You are in a season where God's visiting your house. God's visiting your family. Things are changing. The spiritual temperature in your life is changing. I don't know how long you've known the Lord, but I can see that you are very serious with your relationship with the Lord. Okay? And God's increasing that relationship with intimacy. It's happening today. You are invited by the Spirit to spend time, more time with Him than ever before. Your spiritual hunger is going to another level. That's where you are going. God's doing something in your life that is not done before. You are in a place and in a season with your family where things are changing, things are shifting, and things are being revealed to you that you've not known before. What's your name, sir? Barry. So, Barry, the things are changing in your heart. God's touching your heart right now. God's touching your heart right now. And he's changing your family. He's changing the dynamics. He's changing the desires. These things are changing in your life. The spiritual temperature is climbing. Look at me. Look at me. Can you see me? Perfectly. No. Are you guys okay? Do you believe that Jesus can heal your eyes? Do you believe that? Raise your hands to the Lord. Close your eyes. Forget about me. There's the presence of God. There it is. It's on you. There it is. Say, Jesus, thank you for touching me right now in Jesus' name. There you are. There's the presence. There's the presence. Hey, God's touching your eyes. There it is. There it is. Feel it. There's a wave that's hit you now. There's the second wave coming on you right now. There it is. There it is. Gentle. Now is the third wave. Hey, God's touching you. You feel there's a heat between your shoulder blades? Do you feel there? Not really? Okay. Just relax. There it is. Gently. Gently. Thank you, Father God, for touching Kennedy right now. In Jesus' name. How old are you? 26. I see turbulent emotions. Turbulent emotions. God's healing your heart now. It's like you've given something away and you can't get it back. Okay? That's what I'm seeing. God's healing your heart. You've been hurt. Is this, whose daughter is this? Okay? You've been hurt. You prepared to forgive? Are you? Okay? Say with me, Father, I forgive. I let it go. Say, I let it go. That's it. So there's the presence of God now on you. You see, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. God's touching your heart. There it is. There you are. There you are. There you are. Gently. God's touching you gently. But God's healing your heart right now. You are scarred. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. So your emotions now are settling in Jesus' name. And God says, I'm restoring everything back to you. She's really been hurt. I don't know anything, but I see a scar over her heart. So God's healing you. And God says, your life will now begin according to my purpose. That's what he says. Your life will now begin according to his purpose for you. And so today he's giving you back vision. You've actually, she went through depression. Did she go through a depression? Hello? Was she depressed for a long time? Okay. God's removed that spirit tonight. Is giving you new vision. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Okay. Look at me. Can you see me? Not? Okay. Okay. Let's pray again. You believe that Jesus can heal you. Okay. I'm the one that's praying. Jesus is the healer. All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing your daughter. In Jesus' name. There is God's touching your eye. There it is. There it is. In Jesus' name. God's presence is on you. Say thank you, Jesus. Kennedy. There you are. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Hey, look at me. Same. You just trust God, right? But God's healed your heart tonight, right? Things has shifted in your heart. Your emotions was like a summer thunderstorm. God's touched you. Okay. Love you. Thank you so much. Eh?
Okay.
No, you can't. I'm gonna keep your glasses with me. Bless you. Anyone here with pain, you've got pain in your body right now. You've got pain. Got pain? Okay, where's your pain? Your head, and back. Anyone else? You've got pain. Oh, the pastors. Pain. Where's your pain, man? Okay, come here. Come here. What's your name? Beth. Stand here. Okay, so where's your shoulder? Okay. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Okay. Do you believe that? Raise your hands to the Lord. Close your eyes. Forget about me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Say thank you, Jesus. There's it now. There's the presence. Thank you. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. There you are. God's still touching you. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. There you are. Look at me. Look for the pain. Still there? You feel no difference? Okay. Raise your hands again. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Father God, I thank you for your daughter. What's your name again? Sorry. Beth. Thank you, Father, for Beth. Thank you for your presence coming on your daughter right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There it is. There you are. Say thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just trust God. Amen. Praise God. Maybe. How do you feel anything different? Okay. Look for the pain. Is there still pain? Except there. Okay. So raise your shoulder. Was there pain when you came forward? And now it's gone. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Where's the pain? Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Where's the pain? Left hip. You have pain now in your left hip. Where do you have pain now? Actually, nowhere. So, did you have pain when you sat there at the back? Okay. Okay, raise your hands to the Lord. What's your name, sir? Austin. Great. There's the presence coming on you now. There it is. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Your left shoulder, is there something wrong with your left shoulder? It hurts because I see the presence of God on your left shoulder. You feel a heat on your left shoulder now? A little bit. That's the presence. I see the presence of God on your left shoulder. There it is. It's increasing. It's increasing. You'll feel it now. It's getting more hotter and hotter. Okay. It's coming. More. It's actually going now through your lower back. Down your lower back. Okay. It's touching your hip. Thank you, Jesus. There you are. Thank you. Look for pain in your body. You're pretty good right now. Okay? Now you have to testify about what Jesus did for you so the pain stays away. Okay? You have to testify. All right? Bless you. Bless you. It's your pain. Back pain. Okay. Okay. Have you checked the legs before? Have you checked your legs? You go to Cairo a lot. Have they checked the length of your legs? You haven't checked it. Can we have a chair here? Maybe. Just check. Marie, sal jy vir ons kyk? Sê my help. We're speaking Afrikaans, eh? Me and Murray. Okay, for all of you, it's not tongues, it's Afrikaans. Can we check if his legs are the same length? Sorry, thank you, Murray. Sit with your back nicely against each other. Yeah. Actually, it's better with the shoes. Huh? Put his ankles next to each other. His legs. It's one leg shorter than the. You have to check with the. Okay. Can you keep the. Can you hold the mic for me? Sorry. Let's put your shoes back on. Because it's good. You can see with your. Who of you has never seen a leg grow out? Haven't you? Never. Okay. Give me your legs. Okay. Corey, can you stand here? You see that the left leg is shorter than the right leg. Can you see that clearly? Who of you has never seen a leg grow out? You want to see a leg grow out? Come. You believe that Jesus can grow your leg and heal your back? Come, please. Stand on this side because it's this leg. Okay. Are you with your back nice against the... Okay, good stuff. You see that... This leg is shorter than this leg. Can you see it there? Hello, can you see it? Do you believe? Raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you for you. That's it. It's good. It's great. Okay. It grew out, just popped out like that.
It did, didn't it?
Did you feel it?
I saw it.
Yeah. Okay, you stand up. Your back's healed. Feels good. Your back's healed. God healed your back completely. God healed your back completely.
Wow.
Bend over. You are healed. His faith was already at a level. It just popped out. Amen. Who saw that? You saw that. Praise God. Feels loose, but you healed. Jesus healed you. Corey, come. Have you checked your legs? And? Was healed, okay. So sometimes I ask the people, do you want to go shorter or do you want to go longer? Amen. You are healed completely. Terrell, it's all. Yeah, it's something. That's Jesus. Okay. Who believes that Jesus can heal Corey completely? Let's stretch our hands out to Corey. Close your eyes. Just raise your hands to the Lord. There's the healing presence of God coming on you right now. There it is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. There it is. There it is. Touching your back right now. To both sides of your back right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. There's the presence coming strong on you. Much stronger. Much stronger now. Even more, even more. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Oh, he's going up your back now. Up your back. Up between your shoulder blades. Father God, I thank you that you touch his legs, the nerve canal, that the nerves are going back into place. All the swelling is gone. And he's completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, completely healed. I see the swelling going down. That's what I see. Swelling going down. Thank you, Jesus. Sure. God's even touching between your shoulder blades. There's something also not right. God's touching that as well. God's touching your lungs, your chest. He's bringing healing to your whole body now. In Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. Ooh, yes. God's gently touching you. Amen. Gently touching you. He's also giving you renewed energy. That's what I see. Renewed energy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look for the pain. Okay. God's healing presence is working in you. I saw him touching your chest as well, your lungs. I don't know what, do you have a problem? Chest? Huh? He's touching your lungs. Okay. He's touching your throat. He's touching that whole area, section. Okay. God bless you. It's, again, your name? Sorry. Barry, eh? Barry. Barry, come here. God just wants to touch your heart. I see God wanting to touch. What do you do for a living, Barry? Contract. So, tow trucks. Tow trucks. It's your own business. Okay. You've got a unique call on your life. Very unique call. Are you, is he part of the, are you part of the ministry team? No. You're a board member, so you're part of the church in a leadership position. Okay. How long have you known the Lord? Yeah. Okay. There's a part of your heart that's always been protected by God. I see just the place in your heart we always go to when you need insight, when you need wisdom, when you need answers. And it's just like that part has been protected by God since your birth. There's a very unique call on your life. I do believe that what you are experiencing today, you and your family in your house, listen, the spiritual temperature in your house is changing today. That's what I see. And God's going to start revealing things to you where you need to engage in, where you need to become involved in the church, in the ministry. Things are changing rapidly. Has he spoken to you on that? Okay. But it's starting to happen. So in your family, things are, how many children do you have? Okay, how old are they? Okay. All still in the house? Are they all in the house still? Okay. But you're standing, you are trusting God for your kids. You are trusting God for your kids. And God says, I'll come through for you. Your kids will not be lost. Listen. And especially the oldest one, it's like there's a challenge there. A huge challenge. God will come through for you. Okay. Raise your hands to the Lord. Look at me. Turn to me. Yeah. Close your eyes. You'll feel the presence of God coming on your heart now. There it is. Thank you, Father God, for touching your son now and filling his heart and his life with your presence, your tangible presence. And I pray that every word that you've spoken over his life will come to its fullness in Jesus' name. Its fullness in Jesus' name. There it is. Thank you now for his heart. Thank you for strategy. Thank you for growing his business, but also, Father God, that what he needs to do as your child, as your son in the ministry side, that will be revealed to him as well in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you now for touching his marriage, for touching his children, and not one of them will be lost. And I pray, Father God, for clarity of mind in each of his children's minds, and that they will follow you and they will serve you and live a holy life. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this. Amen. Bless you, sir. Bless you. You're a very unique man. Very unique calling. Very unique mantle on your life. Very unique. Well, praise God. That's all from me tonight. Pastor Corey. My book is available. I think they are there at the exit, at the door. I'll be signing it for you if you want it. You want me to sign it for you? I'll sign it for you as well. But tomorrow we're continuing. And it was great spending time with you tonight. If you've been blessed tonight, if you learned something, second touch on your life. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Diddy. The book is down there. It's called The Importance of Prayer. He has written a few books, but that's the one we have because you're only limited to how much you can bring on the airplane. But I think some of them aren't available on Kindle, but okay. And then there's a third one, another one that he just finished that's on pre-order right now, but it'll be available sometime in the near future. But right now we do have The Importance of Prayer down there, which is an amazing book. It's on my coffee table in the office. And Murray, I think you've gotten through it already at least once. And So we'll be down there. Didier will definitely talk with you and fellowship with you. We may put the coffee on if you want to sleep, or I don't know, it's up to you. But So God bless these people with your holy presence. May they just experience you and what you have for them in all things. And may you provide where provision is needed. May you heal where healing is needed. May you bring the realization of the fullness of your forgiveness. And may we experience you in new and mighty ways. May we have that second touch. And may it be evident in our lives to everyone we reach. Amen and amen.